warm welcome to any guests in our midst this afternoon. Before the worship service, a number of announcements. The consistory will meet De Volente Monday at 7:30 p.m. and the collection this afternoon is for eucalypt. Congregation, let us rise to worship our Lord. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory for ever and ever. Amen. Let us sing together to his praise from hymn 40 verse 1. Brothers and sisters, let us together with the Church of all ages confess our undoubted Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. We'll do that together, singing hymn 1A. Come before our Lord in prayer. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that we can be here for a second time on the day that you have set apart for us, a day in which we can come together and worship you. We ask, Lord, that you would grant that our hearts would be appropriately prepared for that worship, that you would grant us that rest and peace that surpasses all understanding, and that we would with heart, mind, and voice sing your praises and listen to you as you speak to us in your holy word. We ask, Lord, that you would so be with us and work that word and also the sacrament of baptism in our hearts, that we would once again be strengthened, encouraged, and comforted in that gospel and in the faith that you have given to us in your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. opportunity is given to you for the collection. We're collecting, as stated, for eucalypt. Following upon the collection, we will sing from Psalm 114, the first three verses. We will sing about the salvation through the Red Sea, and as we shall see later on, that is also used in the New Testament as an image of baptism. Psalm 114 after the collection. first reading is concerned with the baptism of the Apostle Paul, as Paul recounts that for us in Acts chapter 22. You recall that on the way to Damascus, the Lord Jesus appeared to him with a bright light, that he became blind, but he was escorted to Damascus, where he met one of the disciples of the Lord, Ananias. And we read from chapter 22, starting at verse 12. Then a certain Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good testimony with all the Jews who dwelt there, came to me. And he stood and said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that same hour I looked up at him. Then he said, The God of our fathers has chosen you, that you should know his will, and see the Just One, and hear the voice of his mouth. For you will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized. Literally, get yourself baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. My second reading is from the letter of the Apostle to Titus. Titus chapter 3. The first 8 verses. In this section, the Apostle talks about baptism in verse 5 as the washing of regeneration. Remind them, Paul writes, to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Saviour toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Saviour. That having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. We read further from what we confess in the Belgic Confession, Article 34. You'll find that on page 467 of the Book of Praise. And we'll read the first 2 paragraphs. The first 3. We believe and confess that Jesus Christ, who is the end of the law, has by his shed blood put an end to every other shedding of blood that one could or would make as an expiation or satisfaction for sins. He has abolished circumcision, which involved blood, and has instituted in its place the sacrament of baptism. By baptism we are received into the church of God, and set apart from all other peoples and false religions, to be entirely committed to him whose mark and emblem we bear. This serves as a testimony to us that he will be our God and gracious Father forever. For that reason, he has commanded all those who are his to be baptized with plain water into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. By this, he signifies to us that as water washes away the dirt of the body when poured on us, and as water is seen on the body of the baptized when sprinkled on him, so the blood of Christ, by the Holy Spirit, does the same thing internally to the soul. It washes and cleanses our soul from sin, and regenerates us from the children of wrath and to children of God. Now this is not brought about by the water as such, but by the sprinkling of the precious blood of the Son of God, which is our Red Sea, through which we must pass to escape the tyranny of Pharaoh, that is, the devil, and enter into the spiritual land of Canaan. Thus the ministers on their part give us the sacrament and what is visible, but the Lord gives us what is signified by the sacrament, namely the invisible gifts and grace. He washes, purges, and cleanses our souls of all filth and unrighteousness, renews our hearts and fills them with all comfort, gives us true assurance of his fatherly goodness, clothes us with a new nature, and takes away the old nature with all its works. Let us sing together from the prayer psalm, Psalm 51. We'll sing the verses 3, 4, and 7, standing. Thank you. And I preach to you this afternoon what is summarized in the Holy Scripture in Lord's Day 26 and 27a. Holy Baptism. How does holy baptism signify and seal to you that the one sacrifice of Christ on the cross benefits you? In this way, Christ instituted this outward washing, and with it gave the promise that as surely as water washes away the dirt from the body, so certainly his blood and spirit wash away the impurity of my soul, that is, all my sins. What does it mean to be washed with Christ's blood and spirit? To be washed with Christ's blood means to receive forgiveness of sins from God through grace because of Christ's blood poured out for us in his sacrifice on the cross. To be washed with his spirit means to be renewed by the Holy Spirit and sanctified to be members of Christ, so that more and more we become dead to sin and lead a holy and blameless life. Where has Christ promised that he will wash us with his blood and spirit as surely as we are washed with the water of baptism? In the institution of baptism, where he says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Matthew 28, verse 19. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Mark 16, verse 16. This promise is repeated where Scripture calls baptism the washing of regeneration and the washing away of sins. Titus 3, verse 5 and Acts 22, verse 16. Does this outward washing with water itself wash away sins? No. Only the blood of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit cleanse us from all sins. Why then does the Holy Spirit call baptism the washing of regeneration and the washing away of sins? God speaks in this way for a good reason. He wants to teach us that the blood and spirit of Christ remove our sins just as water takes away dirt from the body. But even more important, he wants to assure us by this divine pledge and sign that we are as truly cleansed from our sins spiritually as we are bodily washed with water so far. Following upon the preaching of God's word, we will sing from Psalm 68, verse 4. It is a prayer, and therefore we shall sing that standing. And we sing about the rain from God's cloud. Remember the cloud by which the Lord led his people up out of Egypt to the promised land. A cloud that provided rain, and that rain which is used in the New Testament as also a symbol of baptism. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we see in the context of our preaching through the Heidelberg Catechism, we have come to that place where we deal with the sacraments, the two signs and seals that the Lord Jesus Christ has given to his congregation to signify to us the basics of that promise of the gospel. Now, we've seen what the gospel says by running through the Apostles' Creed in the Catechism. But now we see how Jesus Christ wants to really impress upon us the kern of that gospel preaching by these signs and seals. And the first sign and seal that we deal with is that of baptism. And we will see this afternoon images of baptism in the Holy Scripture. Not all the images that the New Testament gives us, but a selection of three. Firstly, Paul gets himself
washed.
Secondly, we got ourselves a ritual bath. And thirdly, our fathers got themselves baptized in the cloud and sea. First of all then, brothers and sisters, Paul gets himself washed. And I refer to what we read in Acts chapter 22. The Apostle Paul, as said, had been en route to Damascus. Now the reason, of course, he was going to Damascus was that he had letters from the high priest so that he could persecute and arrest anybody that was following Jesus Christ. And those people had to be arrested in Paul's mind because Jesus was not the Messiah, according to Paul, following the Pharisees. At that time, Paul still believed Jesus had been rightly crucified by the Romans. But on the way to Damascus, Jesus Christ, as a living person, shows himself to Paul. He shines a great light upon him. He makes him blind and he speaks to him. Now Jesus would have had every right to have Paul taken out, as it were. He was, after all, persecuting the church. But he does not. He calls Paul. And by this special revelation of Jesus Christ, Paul is brought to faith in Jesus as the Messiah. Now at the same time, the Lord prepares Ananias. He gives him in a vision the information that Paul will be coming to Damascus and that he is to take this person because Jesus is going to use him to spread his gospel in the world. And so when Paul gets to Damascus, he's introduced to Ananias. And Ananias informs him of the mission that the Lord Jesus has in store for him. What we read, of course, in chapter 22 is really only a very short summary of what happened in those days in Damascus. But the most important points are set out for us. Namely, that God had chosen Paul to get to know Jesus, his only begotten Son, as the Messiah. And that Paul would have to bear witness to Jesus in the world. And therefore, Ananias says at the end of that, "Now, why are you waiting then? Get up!" Literally, get yourself baptized. Now, brothers and sisters, we don't really know for sure whether Paul himself had been baptized with the baptism of John. It is unlikely. We know that some Pharisees were baptized by John, not because they really believed that John was a prophet, but because they were otherwise scared that the people would be angry with them, because most of the people, of course, held John to be a prophet. Nevertheless, Paul at this point is admonished to be baptized. If you have come to faith in Jesus Christ, you need to be washed of your sins. And the Lord Jesus gives this sign to us to show us how he washes us by his blood. And therefore Ananias says to him, get yourself washed. It is not enough to say, I believe. I believe Jesus Christ has died for my sins. Jesus wants to impress that upon you with this sign of baptism. And it's not an option. Yeah, I'm feeling a little bit weak in my faith. Okay, then I'll get baptized. Jesus knows we are all inclined to weakness. And he commands us to use this sign. And so Paul is also commanded to get himself washed with baptism. In order to do that, Ananias must baptize him. Because just as with the baptism of John, baptism is something that needs to be done by an agent of God himself. Baptism is God's washing of us, not our washing of ourselves. God's agent must wash you with baptism. In Paul's case, Ananias. In the case of most Christian churches, the minister of the gospel. Another thing that is the same as with the baptism of John the Baptist is that this washing then, done by an agent of God, is symbolizing the washing away of your sinfulness, of your sins. That God is showing, I have forgiven you of your sins. See, I'm washing them off you. Well, that's quite different to the kinds of baptisms that you had in the Old Testament. The kinds of baptisms that Paul would have been used to as a Jew, as a faithful Jew. For in fact, if you know God's laws, you will know that there were many, many, many laws by which you could become ritually unclean. And then you were instructed as to how to be able to wash yourself in ritually clean water in order that you could become ritually clean. Why did you need to be ritually clean? You needed to be clean in that sense in order to worship God in the temple. You weren't allowed to come into the temple unless you were ritually clean. And that involved washings and baths. But they're washings that you did yourself. And while ritual uncleanness might have symbolized sinfulness, this was not a washing to get rid of your sin. You needed to go to the temple and bring a sacrifice for that. This was a washing to get rid of your ritual uncleanness. For example, you could become unclean if you touched a dead animal, if you touched a dead body. And so there were also many, many other ways in which you could become ritually unclean. The Lord himself had prophesied when his people went into exile that there would be a time when no longer they would need to wash themselves to become clean. For the Lord God had promised in Ezekiel 36 that there would be a time when he brought his people back, that he himself personally would wash them, and then wash them not of ritual uncleanness, but of their sinfulness. And it's this prophecy that's fulfilled in baptism, that we see in this image of washing done by God's agent, not for ritual uncleanness, but for forgiveness of sins. And that's what's so important when Paul here is washed in baptism, cleansed of his own sinfulness, and that sin was not small, having persecuted Jesus and his church. But Jesus encourages him with this sign and seal. There's one other thing to note here, because it's an indication of how this baptism that Jesus requires of us, although it's very similar to the baptism of John the Baptist, is one thing different. Ananias says to Paul, "Arise, be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." He means the Lord Jesus. And what he means by that is that Paul needs to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. What Paul himself would do later on when he baptized others, baptizing them in the name of the Lord. And that's what the Lord Jesus himself says, is it not, at the end of the Gospel of Matthew? Go out into all the world, make disciples of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Triune God, it's really no different to being baptized in the name of Jesus. What Jesus is sometimes emphasized is that, indeed, the sign of baptism is emphasizing what Jesus, through his death, has done for us. But you're baptized, this is the point, in the name. John the Baptist never did that. He didn't baptize anybody in a name. After Pentecost, that's the baptism that you need to receive. And so Paul also is baptized into Jesus Christ. And you see, that's the emphasis also that the Catechism gives in its explanation of what baptism is all about. It's all about, says the Catechism, washing the dirt of the body as a sign of what Jesus does for us through his blood and spirit. Forgiveness of sins and renewal or regeneration by the Holy Spirit. And it's that sign and seal that will shortly be applied to Jeff Fokkema. He will have signed and signified to him that promise of the gospel that the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood that flowed already 2,000 years ago, will wash away his sins. In the second place, brothers and sisters, Paul gets himself washed, and now we get ourselves a ritual bath. And then I refer to what the Apostle Paul writes in Titus 3. That's also one of the texts used by the Catechism and further explained. It's that text where Paul talks about baptism as the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Now, when Paul says that, he's comparing baptism, actually, to the kind of washing that he was used to, the kind of washing that he grew up in as a boy and also as a young man. And it's the kind of washing which I've attempted to depict in your liturgy sheet. I'm not a great artist, as you can see, but hopefully you get the idea. In those days, in order to cleanse yourself from ritual uncleanness, you needed to use ritually clean water. Now, clean water is water that has not been moved by human hands. In other words, water in a river or a stream, water in a natural spring. Well, if you know anything about Israel, you'll know that there are not a lot of rivers and also not a lot of natural springs. So how else might you get your hands on clean water? Rainwater. Rainwater that's captured in an outside bath. Now, there are many of those baths still to be seen in Israel. They've been dug up. They're about the size depicted here. You can't get your whole body in it. And so you sit in it like a modern bath in one of our houses, except this would be outside because it's rainwater. And you sit in it and you use a can or a pitcher of that water to pour over those parts of your body that aren't actually under the water, your knees or your head. And this is what Paul is thinking about when he says that we are washed in a washing of regeneration, that is to say, of rebirth and of the renewing of the Holy Spirit, says Paul, who is poured out over us. He's thinking of that water being poured out over your head and coming down over your body. That's the image before him. And the apostle wants to emphasize that it's not just washing, it's also an image of washing and the work of the Holy Spirit. And Paul is thinking back to the baptism of Jesus Christ himself. You remember, Jesus was baptized in the Jordan by John the Baptist. And John the Baptist had been told by God beforehand, listen, when you finally get to baptize somebody and you see the Holy Spirit coming upon him, you will know that person is the Messiah. And that's how John knew that when he baptized Jesus, this finally was the Messiah. Because what happens straight after the baptism, Jesus gets up out of the water and the Holy Spirit comes upon him in the form of a dove. Not to regenerate him, of course, but to equip him for his office. Because it's only after that that the Lord Jesus begins to work miracles and to take upon himself the public preaching of the gospel. But ever since that time, after Pentecost, baptism is also associated with the coming of the Holy Spirit to grant you the gifts that you need, to equip you, to serve the Lord in thankfulness, and also, and that's what Paul emphasizes here, regeneration. In other words, that you become a new man. Your old sinful self is put off, buried as it were, with Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit is busy renewing you. Because although you become a new person in principle when you come to faith, it is a process too of more and more putting off the old man, or as Paul says in Romans 8, killing him, making him dead. And so making yourself dead to sin. And renewing according to the new man in the image of Jesus Christ himself. You become more and more like Christ. Because baptism makes you one in Christ. And it's about a promise. When you're baptized, God says, I promise, if you embrace this in faith, that I will give you the Holy Spirit to renew your life. And in fact, it's the Holy Spirit that's regenerating you, giving you that rebirth, making you into a new man. And that is something, too, that will be promised to Jet Fokimer in this sign and seal. Lastly, we also see as an image of this baptism how our fathers, as it were, got themselves baptized in the cloud and in the sea when they came out of Egypt. Now, in the Bible studies, we've been studying that Exodus out of Egypt. Paul mentions this in the first verse of 1 Corinthians 10. The first couple of verses. He says the following, Moreover, brethren, I don't want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. So he links us, and also all the believers in Corinth, with Israel in the Old Testament. Even if we are Gentiles, even if we're by blood not Jews, he says they're our fathers in faith. We have been grafted into Israel. And just as we're baptized into God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, well, in a sense, says Paul, our fathers all the way back then were also baptized, grafted into God's church. Just think of it, he said. Remember, that cloud representing the glory of the Lord by day, but followed them all the way to Mount Sinai, where the Lord gave his law. That cloud, he says, is an image of baptism. And of course the apostle is thinking of the fact that that cloud actually was a rain cloud, and it rained constantly upon the people of Israel. We'll sing about that in Psalm 68 in just a moment. And he says, in the sea. And Paul imagines then, although they went through dry land, through the Red Sea, he imagines those two banks of water on either side. And you can imagine it for yourself. If all that water is banked up, how you would be sprinkled, as it were, by that water on your left and your right as you go through. The same water, of course, that's going to bury the Egyptians. Yes, they were baptized. They went through that water. And in the same way, that has now become our sign and seal of what God is doing for us, making us his own by washing away our sins. And that is also the sign and the seal that will be applied to Jet Fokimer. Brothers and sisters, as we witness this in a moment, let's think back to the fact that we ourselves have been baptized with that same sign. We might not remember it. Personally, I can't remember it either, even though I did walk to my own baptism. I was almost 2 years old. Maybe some of us were baptized as older people, but it doesn't really matter. The point is, you know you're baptized. And you know that this same sign and seal has been given to you, and that the Lord makes himself busy with you. He wants to be your God. And he's given you personally these promises. consider and reflect upon that again as the sign is administered once again this afternoon. And praise God for the fact that He has called you to be His own and to reflect His Son on this earth. Amen. Let's sing together, standing from Psalm 68, verse 4. Sisters, you will find the form for baptism on page 584 of your Book of Praise. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the doctrine of holy baptism is summarized as follows. First, we and our children are conceived and born in sin, and are therefore by nature children of wrath, so that we cannot enter the kingdom of God unless we are born again. This is what the immersion in or sprinkling with water teaches us. It signifies the impurity of our souls so that we may detest ourselves, humble ourselves before God, and seek our cleansing and salvation outside of ourselves. Second, baptism signifies and seals to us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. We are therefore baptized into the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. When we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father testifies and seals to us that He establishes an eternal covenant of grace with us. He adopts us for His children and heirs, and promises to provide us with all good and avert all evil or turn it to our benefit. When we are baptized into the name of the Son, God the Son promises us that He washes us in His blood from all our sins, and unites us with Him in His death and resurrection. Thus we are freed from our sins and accounted righteous before God. When we are baptized into the name of the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit assures us by this sacrament that He will dwell in us and make us living members of Christ, imparting to us what we have in Christ, namely the cleansing from our sins and the daily renewal of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without blemish among the assembly of God's elect in life eternal. Third, since every covenant contains two parts, a promise and an obligation, we are, through baptism, called and obliged by the Lord to a new obedience. We are to cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to trust Him and to love Him with all our heart, soul, and mind, and with all our strength. we must not love the world, but put off our old nature and lead a God-fearing life. And if we sometimes through weakness fall into sins, we must not despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, for baptism is a seal and trustworthy testimony that we have an eternal covenant with God. Although our children do not understand all this, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism. Just as they share without their knowledge in the condemnation of Adam, so are they without their knowledge received into grace in Christ. For the Lord spoke to Abraham, the father of all believers, and thus also speaks to us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you, throughout their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your descendants after you. Peter also testifies to this when he says, For the promises to you and to your children, and to all that are far off, every one whom the Lord our God calls to him. Therefore, in the old dispensation, God commanded that infants be circumcised. The circumcision was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith. Christ also took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands upon them. In the new dispensation, baptism has replaced circumcision. Therefore, infants must be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant. And as they grow up, their parents have the duty to instruct them in these things. In order that we may now administer this holy sacrament of God to his glory, for our comfort, and to the upbuilding of the congregation, let us call upon his holy name. Almighty eternal God, in your righteous judgment you have punished the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood. But in your great mercy you have saved and protected the believer Noah and his family. You have drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and all his host in the Red Sea, but led your people Israel through the midst of the sea on dry ground, by which baptism was signified. We therefore pray you that you will, in your infinite mercy, graciously look upon this child, Jethfokomer, of yours, and incorporate him by your Holy Spirit into your Son, Jesus Christ, so that he may be buried with him by baptism into death and raised with him to walk in newness of life. We pray that he, following him day by day, may joyfully bear his cross and cleave to him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love. Grant that he, comforted in you, may leave this life which is no more than a constant death, and that the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ your Son. All this we ask through him, our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who with you and the Holy Spirit, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. I would ask the parents to rise. Beloved in Christ the Lord, you've heard that baptism is an ordinance of the Lord our God to seal to us and our children his covenant. We must therefore use this sacrament for that purpose and not out of custom or superstition. That it may be clear then that you desire baptism for the right purpose, you are to answer sincerely the following questions. First, do you confess that our children, though conceived and born in sin and therefore subject to all sorts of misery, even to condemnation, are sanctified in Christ, and thus as members of his church ought to be baptized? Second, do you confess that the doctrine of the Old and New Testament, summarized in the confessions and taught here in this Christian church, is the true and complete doctrine of salvation? Third, do you promise as father and mother to instruct your child in this doctrine as soon as he is able to understand, and to have him instructed therein to the utmost of your power. Brother Fokkema, what is your answer?
I do.
Sister Fokkema.
I do.
You may bring Jet before the font. To put this here to protect any water damage. Jetgar Fokkema, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Congregation, let us rise to sing from Psalm 45, verse 1. Let us give thanks to our Lord. Almighty, merciful God and Father, we thank and praise you that you have forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ. You have received us through your Holy Spirit as members of your only begotten Son, and so adopted us to be your children. You've sealed and confirmed this to us by holy baptism. We pray you through your beloved Son that you will always govern this child, Jet Fokkema, by your Holy Spirit, that he may be nurtured in the Christian faith and in godliness, and may grow and increase in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grant that he thus may acknowledge your fatherly goodness and mercy, which you have shown to him and to us all. May he live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King and High Priest, Jesus Christ, and valiantly fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion. May he forever praise and magnify you and your Son, Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Spirit, the one only true God. Lord, we all give you thanks and praise that you desire to be our God, and that you have called us out of this world to represent and reflect your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in our bodies. Enable us then to do that and to be light and salt to the people around us also in the coming week. Open our eyes to the opportunities that you present us for spreading that gospel message, for appraising people of the hope that you have given to us, the hope unto eternal life. We thank you, Lord, for the many opportunities that there are for spreading this gospel. We thank you for the opportunity that we have for evangelizing at Shoalwater and for the blessings that you give there. And we pray, Lord, that you would continue to bless also that work. We ask this all in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our final psalm this afternoon can be found in Psalm 114, verse 4. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.